This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Today, in his hospital bed at Boston Medical Center, police officer John Moynihan watched a unique and difficult video. According to the Boston Globe, he saw surveillance video of the attack that put the 34-year-old officer in intensive care last week.
The video shows what happened last Friday evening after Moynihan made a traffic stop in Roxbury. The driver, Angelo West, shoots Moynihan in the face. Other officers fire back, killing West as he flees, still firing his weapon. Given those details in the age of Ferguson, social media, and concerns about police-involved killings, the situation could have become dangerously volatile.
But Moynihan isn't the only person to have seen the video. On Saturday, less than a day after the shooting, Boston Police Chief Bill Evans decided to show the video to community leaders in an effort to keep the peace. That's a significant departure from how BPD has handled such shootings in the past. And in this case, it seems to have worked, but it also raises some important questions as well. And here to help us answer them is Reverend Jeffrey Brown. He's one of the community leaders who saw the video. Welcome back to the show, Reverend Brown.
Thank you for having me again.
So first of all, can I just ask you, what was your reaction when you saw this surveillance video?
I was in the room, and there was really a stunned silence as the video was played. And they played it over more than a few times so that we could understand all of what was happening. And what struck me about the video was that it was done in the middle of the day, that it happened in the middle of the day. And there were folks who were shopping in some of the stores there, oblivious until the shots were fired as to what was unfolding.
Hmm. Now, stunned silence, it was part of, I mean, stunned silence in reaction to the video, but also that this seems to be unprecedented in terms of how Boston police have treated this kind of evidence before. Usually, I mean, in the past, it's taken even as long as a year for these videos to be released.
Absolutely, which was another part of the reaction that we had, because this happened the day before, and so they were called in to the department, and to see this was just really stunning for us. And when we saw the video, we understood why we were called in.
Okay, so tell me a little bit more about that. What was the conversation that happened between you, other community leaders, and Police Chief Evans? Because I understand that they took pains to answer questions that you may have had.
Absolutely. Some of us knew people who were at the scene. There was a bit of a commotion that occurred somewhere around 9 o'clock and onward as they were still processing the scene. And there were a lot of rumors that were going flying about exactly what happened.
Rumors in the community.
And so those of us who were there started asking questions about that. Some of it was obviously answered as we saw the videotape, but then there were others. And we got the answers from the BPD.
Well, and these are not insignificant questions, because as I'm reading from reporting on this, that, for example, Boston Police Chief Evans took pains to even describe how West's body was covered and treated in the immediate first steps of the investigation after the shooting. And of course, I mean, these are important details in the wake of Ferguson, when some of the most disturbing videos were of Michael Brown's body being uncovered for hours.
Absolutely.
Afterwards.
And it was clear, at least from my opinion, that in Ferguson, it was a clear message that was being sent by law enforcement there. In our case in Boston, the BPD took great pains to make sure the body was covered, and not only did they put a sheet on it within minutes after the initial processing, they put a tent around the body so that, you know, out of respect, for the decedent and for the family.
Yeah. So just to be clear, this kind of evidence can't be shown to anyone without the approval of the district attorney, which was, of course, received in this case. Do you think, though, now that maybe Boston Police Chief Bill Evans has set a precedent in terms of how quickly video evidence might be used to help a community understand what may have happened in the wake of a shooting?
I believe he has. I mean, that was one of the things that several of the leaders said in the meeting, is that, you know, when another one of these shootings occurs, there's going to be the expectation that if there is video footage, that video footage be shown to the leadership. But we live in an age now where, you know, everyone has a cell phone. Many of the businesses have cameras that are around. And one of the things that we're talking about around police reforms is that cops have body cameras on. So we're in that age now where a year of painstaking, you know, research is not suffice, because it just continues to churn the rumor mill and divide communities.
Yeah, you know, and this case seems to be so unique. I don't even know if that's the right term, but I, you know, I read that Police Chief Evans said it was so clear from the video that he didn't feel that Boston police had anything to hide. But what happens in cases where it's not so clear cut?
Absolutely. I mean, that was one of the things that we talked about in the meeting, is that, you know, if this precedent is set, there will be times in which the camera angle will not be the way it was in this particular video. And what do you do then about getting the evidence out? To me, the lesson is that on these kinds of shootings, particularly police officer involved shootings, there needs to be a much more rapid response to the community around exactly what happened. You know, there have been other shootings that occurred, and there were videotape that could have shed, you know, a lot more insight as to what happened in those shootings. And those investigations would take, as you said, 12 months, 14 months. And during that time, you know, a lot of people talk and the rumor mills just continue to churn. We're in an age where we're trying to build better relationships between law enforcement and communities of color. Mm. We need to be responsive to the fact that we are in the kind of age where videotape or, you know, cameras are going to elicit a more rapid response.
So on that point, finally, let me ask you, you know, I was interested to see the Boston Globe editorial that said that one of the reasons why this worked this time around in Boston is because of the longstanding open lines of communication between Boston police and community leaders. I mean, they were able to get you, the NAACP, et cetera, mm-hmm. on the phone quickly to show this video in less than 24 hours.
Yes.
We're a compact, close-knit community. Mm-hmm. In 2013, you left the 10-point coalition mm-hmm. to take faith-based crime prevention approaches mm-hmm. across the country.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you think that what we saw take place on Saturday here, mm-hmm. could it work elsewhere?
It could work elsewhere if the relationships are in place and if you have community leaders who are embedded in the community, not just, you know, head-talking representatives, but people who are actually ensconced in the community, doing the work, you know, all the way down to the street level. It'll work in that way. You have to have police departments who are open to the fact that some of the processes that they would utilize may be outdated, and they need to revise them. They need to revise policies around that. And then you'll have community leaders who are willing to at least listen to evidence before they make judgments and pronouncements and entertain rumors that are happening out on the street. Mm. So it is possible it's happening in some places and other places not.
Yeah. And just to be clear briefly, next time something like this happens, sadly to say, do you think community leaders are going to demand that a video be released or some kind of evidence be shown sooner rather than later?
There's going to be the expectation. If something like this happened, and if there is videotape available or if there's a body camera available, people are going to want to see, you know, exactly for themselves, you know, what happened. And I also want to say finally that our prayers continue to be with not only with the Moynihan family, but with the West family and the family of Vanessa Brown, who was shot in the shoulder during that time.
Reverend Jeffrey Brown, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.